precious blood that flows from Calvary can make the sinner holy. Come wash me clean till every part of me is yours, Lord, and yours only. It's been so long since I felt Jesus. Just once again, I long to of Calvary, remembering nights down on my knees in prayer, I said, Lord, here I am, please use me. A fool was I to ever leave you. Please take me now. Oh God, I know I need you.
Well, if you're washed, are you glad you washed?
Amen.
Amen. I'm glad I'm washed in the blood of the Lamb this morning. And couldn't go to hell if I wanted to. And couldn't unbless me if I wanted to. Lord is good to them who know Him. And He is a God who is full of benefits. And we are right upon the Thanksgiving season. And, of course, Thursday being Thanksgiving Day, the day that we celebrate Thanksgiving in the U.S., but hey, the Lord, He's the God who gives blessings full and free, and let us not forget His benefits this year, and the kind of God He is. He is a good, good Father, and we appreciate the Lord. I want to say it's so good to see each and every one of you. Thank you for being with us. Welcome to Calvary Baptist Church right here in Powder Springs, and we want to welcome those watching by way of Facebook, like we do each and every service. We do not take your digital presence for granted. And so we're thankful for you as well. And I want to mention a couple of things concerning our day today here at Calvary. This evening at 5 o'clock, we'll have our Thanksgiving fellowship. And so remember that. It'll be a great time together where we'll feast. And then we will have a good time of fellowship. And then, of course, we'll throw in a little bit of faith in there as well, have a short devotion. And but tonight I want to open the floor up, do something a little different this year, and give everyone an opportunity to give a good hearty testimony of God's goodness in your life. And so do things a little different. Of course, last year we didn't have our Thanksgiving fellowship because of COVID, but we are this year. And so we're very, very thankful and excited about that. I do want to mention that there'll be no Wednesday night service this coming week in light of Thanksgiving. And so we will meet again on next Sunday morning for worship. And so remember that. And also remember on next Sunday night, Brother Jamie Dickerson will be preaching for us in the evening service. And we love Brother Jamie. I personally have known Brother Jamie now for about 4 years. And I know that he gets excited at the Braves game and watching the Braves. I've experienced that with him. But I know he gets excited in church as well. Very passionate about his Lord. And so we're going to have Brother Jamie come this way and preach for us then. So looking forward to that. Remember the tree lot. Things are in full swing there. Some important dates where they need help. November 26th, 27th, 28th, December 3, 4, and 5. Of course, on top of that, things fluctuate and change a little bit here and there. And so just remember that. You can reach out to Brother Brian, Miss Melita, Darlene, any of the house parents will be a great contact for that. All right. You glad you're here this morning? Say amen.
Amen.
Amen. Well, let's pray. We'll toss it back to Brother Allen. Father, we love you this morning. We are thankful. We are grateful. We are blessed. We're so thankful for the cross of Calvary by which Jesus bled and died. But not only the cross, but the tomb. Lord, that there's an empty tomb. Many people have died in the name of religion, have said that they're the Messiah, but only Jesus arose from the grave. And Lord, we're thankful for that this morning, that we have resurrecting power within our hearts, those of us that know you personally. And so, Lord, there's really nothing that we can't do in this life, because we can do all things through you. I pray this morning that you would help us to, Lord, focus our attention on the service this morning. Focus our thoughts upon you. Lord, let our minds, God, be calm and our hearts be calm. Help us, as we preached last Sunday, to gird up the loins of our mind. Because, Lord, we know you want to speak to us. Father, we know that you have something to say. Bless the service. Bless all the prayer requests. You know who needs what. And, Lord, we'll thank you and we'll praise you for it. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. It is good to see you in the house of the Lord this morning. Let's everyone stand. Take a hymnal and turn to page number 393. Page 393, choir stand, church stand. Let's sing together this morning.
Thank you.
choir. You can be seated. Let me just make this announcement. There'll be no choir practice this evening. Of course, and we'll have our fellowship and our meal downstairs. Everything will be in the fellowship hall this evening, so please remember that. It'll be a great time. So excited about it. And please come back and be with us if you can. And we'll just enjoy a great time together tonight and a great fellowship. We have so much. I've said this over the past few days. We have so much to be thankful for. Amen. I believe we would all say that this morning. We just have so much to be thankful for. You look over this past year and all that we've gone through, and we're able to still be in the house of the Lord this morning. We should be thankful for that. And we are thankful for Facebook Live and that avenue to be able to reach people, for them to be able to be a part of worship. But we just have so much to be thankful for. Amen. Let's go to him. Please remember all the announcements. And we have many, many prayer requests. I would ask you to please remember a family, the Hicks family. You've seen that on TV. That was a dreadful situation where the couple were murdered. And please remember that family. They're just, I can't even imagine how devastated they must be. But please remember the Hicks family when you pray. And I know they'd greatly appreciate that. But let's go to him in a word of prayer. And just ask the Lord to be with us today. And ask the Lord's blessing on the service. Pray for Pastor. And let's just look forward to a great day in the house of the Lord. Father, we love you. We praise you, Lord, and we thank you, Lord, for the opportunity that we do have to be able to come to your house. Well, we don't take that for granted. We don't take it lightly. We are thankful, Lord, to be here today. And, Lord, I pray that you would just touch us. Pray that you would, Lord, accept the worship and the praise this morning that we want to give you. Be at the choir in a few moments, Lord, as we sing. Lord, I pray that you'd be with our pastor this morning. Speak through him. May our hearts and our minds be open to receive your word. Thank you for everyone that is here this morning. We see some that are visiting with us. Lord, we pray a special blessing upon them. May they just feel at home in the house of the Lord today. Lord, again, be with the offering. Bless the gift and the giver. Lord, I pray that you would be with us through this special time. And Lord, we do have so much to be thankful for. We're going to praise you now. Thank you. Lord, if there's someone that doesn't know you here today, may this be the day that they come to make you the Lord of their life. Lord, what a blessing, what a great day that would be. In Jesus' name, Lord, we ask all these things. Amen. Aren't you glad Jesus saves? Amen. We tried to pick a few songs this morning, a couple of songs, that would just show how thankful we are and what we are thankful for. One is, I'm glad I'm washed in the blood of the Lamb. Amen. The other is, I'm glad that Jesus saves. Would you please pray this morning as the choir sings, Lord, prepare me to be a sanctuary.
Again, it's good to be here this morning. And I'll ask you again, if you're glad you're here, say amen.
Amen.
Amen. Well, we do have some visiting with us, but I do want to acknowledge a couple of our special guests. Miss Carol and Miss Carrie's with us. That's Brother Berman's wife and daughter. And so good to have y'all with us this morning. And I just celebrated thinking about you guys being with us in service. Friday was my 19-year spiritual birthday. Hard to believe, isn't it? And thank you, thank you. Hard to believe. All started over at Floyd Road, thank you, Miss Carol, for sending the baptism pictures of Brother Berman baptizing me. Sent me some photos of that the other day, and brought back a lot of good memories. I'm glad, though, that this isn't the end. This is only the beginning. And one day we'll all be in heaven, those that are saved, and we'll be rejoicing over the decisions we've made here. And can't wait to see Brother Berman and my mother. Most of all, can't wait to see Jesus, the one that made it all possible, that new and living way. And what a great day that'd be. You can go ahead and make your way to the book of Luke, chapter number 17. Luke 17. And we will read there in just a few moments. Luke 17, I know many times when there's a holiday coming around or a particular Sunday lands on a holiday, if you're like me, many preachers, they try to think of something suitable for that holiday. But the longer I preach and the more I try to preach, I try not to box the Lord into holidays only, but it does fall upon a holiday-style message this morning concerning Thanksgiving. Let's bow, and then we will introduce the subject this morning, and then hopefully be a blessing by the time we leave. Father, we love you. We thank you. We praise you, Lord, for the things that you have done. Lord, the things that you're doing now that we may not be aware of, and the things, Lord, that you're going to do. Help us this morning to be a vessel that you could use. Lord, I pray for a clear head and a calm heart. Gird up the loins of my mind, Lord. And Father, I pray that by the time we leave this morning, we could all say that it's been good to be here in your house. In Jesus' name we pray with thanksgiving in our hearts. Amen and amen. Here we are at Thanksgiving holiday once again. Thanksgiving being on Thursday. Last year was certainly different with all of the COVID restrictions, as everyone in here knows. This year is much better. Although last year was different, I believe that we've all learned some things. I hope we did. We learned how to celebrate the holidays, how to celebrate and enjoy life under the least favorable conditions, didn't we? Learning how to celebrate Thanksgiving, Christmas, each and every day under those least favorable conditions. It really taught us to appreciate all of the Thanksgiving holidays that's gone by, Christmas holidays that's gone by. It's taught us how to appreciate all the holidays when things were good during those bad, stressful times, such as last year was. This whole COVID mess has taught us to appreciate not just the holidays gone by, but every day, and being thankful every day for life, being alive and having family and friends, a church home, a roof over our head, food to eat, clothes on our back, a job to work at, and school to attend. Through all of the COVID mess, I like to think that we've learned some things. And we got to take life day by day, don't we? Moment by moment, basking in each active moment that we're in. Because it could be our last day. And saying all that, and really, the goal is to maintain a thankful heart. Whether things are good, whether things are bad, in any condition, is to live a balanced and centered life. And that is being thankful, being grateful to God for all that He's done. With that said this morning, I want to preach for a few moments on this subject. Give thanks. Give thanks. Just a simple sermon this morning about giving thanks. Three things I want to share with you about this simple sermon of giving thanks. Number one, let me say we should purposefully give thanks. Purposefully give thanks. Meaning give thanks on purpose. In other words, don't forget to give thanks. You say, Brother Justin, how in the world could I forget to give thanks? I would never forget to give thanks. Well, if you notice here in Luke chapter number 17, and according to Luke 17, 9 out of 10 forgot to give thanks. Let's begin reading in verse number 11. As we kick off the message with the first point, we should purposefully give thanks. Verse number 11, Luke 17. And it came to pass, as he went to Jerusalem, that he passed through the midst of Samaria and Galilee. And as he entered into a certain village, there met him 10 men that were lepers, which stood afar off. And they lifted up their voices and said, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. When he saw them, he said unto them, Go, show yourselves unto the priests. And it came to pass that as they went, they were cleansed. And one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back and with a loud voice glorified God and fell down on his face at his feet, giving him thanks. And he was a Samaritan. And Jesus answering said, Were there not 10 cleansed? But where are the 9? There are not found that return to give glory to God, save this stranger. So we see some things out of this story when it comes to giving thanks purposefully. Now, in verse number 12, we see that there was a condition here. In verse number 12, the Bible says that there were lepers. There were 10 lepers. And the condition was leprosy. But then we see the lepers, not only condition, but the leper's restriction. In verse number 12, notice again, he says, And as he entered into a certain village, there met him 10 men that were lepers, which stood afar off. They were restricted to go into the village. They were restricted to be in the community because of their condition. You see, they were alienated. They stood afar off. And in order for them to be able to come into the village, the city, the community, they had to get approval through the priests. And so we see their condition. They were lepers. We see their restriction. They were outcast from the community. But then in verse number 13 and 14, I want you to notice their faith. And they lifted up their voices and said, "Master, have mercy on us." And when he saw them, he said unto them, "Go show yourselves unto the priests." And it came to pass that as they went, they were cleansed. And so we see their faith here. Now, evidently, they knew that this was Jesus, the Master, the Messiah. Verse 13 says so. They lifted up their voices and said, "Jesus, Master, have mercy upon us. Have mercy on us." And in verse number 14 says that they actually obeyed what was said. Jesus says, "Go show yourselves unto the priest." Now, the lepers already know the conclusion of the matter. But they didn't argue with Jesus here. The lepers already knew, well, Lord, that's the reason why we're outcast now, was because of leprosy. And you're wanting us to go show ourselves unto the priest. They didn't argue that. 10 out of 10, all 10 had leprosy, did not argue. In faith, they went. They must have believed that as they were going, somewhere in the process, healing would take place. And the Bible says, verse 14, "Go show yourselves unto the priests." And it came to pass that as they went, somewhere in the process, they were cleansed. And so we see their faith here. Their faith. But then I want you to notice their forgetfulness. Notice, if you would, in verse 15. "And one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back and with a loud voice glorified God." Look in verse 17. "And Jesus answering said, Were there not 10 cleansed? But where are the 9? There were 9 out of 10 that were forgetful over the blessing of Almighty God, that God touched them in a moment when they exercised their faith the most. They've already been excommunicated by the priest, yet Jesus said, go show yourself unto the priest. They took him at his word, and somewhere in the process they were healed, but only one was thankful. We see their forgetfulness here. Now, notice something else. In verse number 15 and 18, we see the unlikely given praise. In verse 15, the Bible says, "And one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back and with a loud voice glorified God." Verse 18, "There are not found that return to give glory to God save this stranger." He was a stranger. Why was he a stranger? Why did Jesus call this one, this unlikely one, to give praise? Why did he call him a stranger? Because he was a Samaritan. He was a foreigner to the Jews. He was alienated from the commonwealth of Israel. And you see, this is a picture of, and it's true that it's the unlikely. He said, "There are not found that returned to give glory to God save this stranger." This stranger. And so we see the unlikely given praise. You say, "Brother Justin, what does all of that have to do with me?" It has everything to do with you and me. You see, because there was a time in your life and my life when we were strangers. We were strangers and foreigners, alienated from the commonwealth of Israel, alienated and strangers to the promises of God. We didn't know God. There was a time, I just told you my testimony, part, 19 years ago, I didn't know God. But for the past 19 years, I have known God. Before my salvation, I was a stranger. Before your salvation, you were a stranger to God and His promises. And because of the new birth, and because of the blood of Jesus, we can approach our priest, God the Father, because of God the Son. We can approach Him and come to Him. And sometimes in life, I personally feel like these lepers. Lord, I need a touch from You. God, I need You to meet this need. I need You to do the miraculous in my life. I believe that God can. I'm struggling if God will. But more, 9 times out of 10, it's somewhere in the process that God touches me, that God reveals His will for my life. Just like these lepers. As they went, they were healed. Someone here today, or there may be several here today, there may be some watching on Facebook that you're in a place of difficulty. Like these lepers, you feel you may not be alienated from God and His promises, but you may feel alienated from your family. You may feel alienated from the community. You may feel like you're in a situation all to yourself and that nobody cares and nobody sees your troubles and pains. Can I say to take a step forward to your priest? Take a step forward to God the Father. Because somewhere in the process, as you go, God will meet your need. It's when we stop going is when things get bad. It's when we stop caring is when things get bad. It's when we say, well, you know what? I'm just going to stay home from church today and watch on Facebook. Praise the Lord for Facebook, but it's not like church. We stay home, say, oh, I'm just going to mull over my situation. I'm just going to retreat on my friends and God and try to work things out. Let me ask you, how many times does it work out when you're all to yourself and you are in that place of isolation? How many times? But no, it's biblical principle in my estimation that if we step toward Jesus, if we keep on walking toward Him, we don't understand everything in our life. We have struggles and troubles we're going through, but we got to keep moving. We got to keep making our way toward the cross. It's somewhere in the process our healing comes. It's somewhere in the midst of all of the trouble our healing comes. It's not when we stop. What happens when we stop? We're headed down the wrong path. I've been having some... Let me just say this before I mention it. My troubles with my Avalon. Okay? It runs great now. The headlights don't flicker at night, praise the Lord. Bobby and Nancy has heard everything about my complaints with my headlights on my Avalon. It finally got worked out and fixed after so much money. But there was a time when I wasn't using that Avalon, and Christy and I, man, we were putting the miles on the Highland. And that's not a new ride. But we're thankful for our Highlander, aren't we? We love our blue Highlander. Especially when I was able to have my Braves flags flapping in the wind on it. Man, it looked so pretty. I got a little red sticker, Brother Harold. I ordered off eBay. I got on back of my Avalon. It says, World Champions. Praise the Lord. It looks tacky on there, but I love it. I'm making a statement. But that Avalon sat there and sat there and sat there. And there came a time on a specific day where I had to grab my coat, put on, get to the car, and I had to go meet somebody, do something, and I went to start it up. Come on, Lord, please, Lord, please. Nothing. Nothing. That's because when you have a home and a car, these responsibilities, you begin to learn a little bit through failure. And what I learned about cars are, if I leave my car there and not crank it in 2 weeks, might get a little bit of cranking trouble. In fact, I had to get a whole new battery. One of the main fuses was blown. The 120-watt volt was blown in that thing. Man, I was struggling. In like manner, church, we have to keep moving. We can't sit up and hope for the best. We got to put the Bible into shoe leather and make our way to Jesus, whether we feel like it or not. Whether the circumstances are favorable or unfavorable, the best thing and the most healthiest thing for us to do is make our way to Him. This morning, as we look at this story, we see that 9 out of 10 forgot to give thanks. You'll have opportunity tonight to give thanks. If you haven't in a while, you can give thanks this morning. But the moral of this story, my first point is, we should purposefully give thanks. Don't forget about when you prayed to God for Him to part the waters in your life. Well, your back was against the wall, and the devil was telling you that you would surely drown in your sorrow. But God, He made a way when there was no way. He opened up those waters in you. Walk past clean on dry ground. Let us not forget, along with our many prayer requests, that when God answers a prayer request, to give Him praise, because that praise is due to His name for His goodness. God gets glorified when we praise Him. Sometimes, and we got a lot of prayer requests, don't we, Brother Allen? And listen, we're supposed to pray. But I just think that we need to follow through with praise. Sometimes people could think, well, man, there's a lot of prayer requests over there at Calvary. Does God ever answer any of them? Yes, He does. And I'm looking at Miss Claudia. She's shaking her head and smiling. Miss Claudia came to me one day and said, Brother Justin, I have something on my heart. She said, I want to make a poster and put it out here in the hallway. And I want to make little stones. And every time a prayer request, God has met that need or done above that need or chosen, whatever the situation is, then I want to write that person's name in a stone, because these are stones of remembrance, like in Joshua's day. God brought Joshua and the children of Israel through the Jordan River. And they had stones of remembrance. Because there would come a day when the children would ask, what mean ye these stones? And they would say, oh, there was a time. And there was a day in my life when the Jordan River was overflowing because it was harvest and we had to get over. And God made a way. He allowed us to get over, get through and get over. And so Miss Claudia has been taking the initiative. Thank you, Miss Claudia. Of making stones on our wall. And every time God would answer a prayer, she'll say, Brother Justin, I want to put so-and-so's name in a stone. Brother Justin, I want to put Brother Allen's name in a stone. We had several young teens saved in our children's home recently and put a name in the stone just by saying, this is what God can do. And sometimes we have to have a visual in order to appreciate and remember all that God can do. You have any stones of remembrance in your life? I think it's time to give God praise for them. Give God praise for those stones. Give God praise for those times. Don't be like these 9 who exercised faith, but they didn't turn back. And I believe in this story, there's implication here that the 9 were Jews. And Jesus said, here's one who turned back to praise me that wasn't even the people of God. The unlikely God chooses, the unlikely God uses, but saying that, let all of us be people of praise. If we have to sit down in a chair and allow everything to leave your mind and just think about the times that God has blessed you. The Mondays when you started out to work and you wanted to quit. The battles during the week with your teenager. No pun intended there. All of these things that take place that we overlook in life. Let us give God praise. We should purposefully give God praise. Let me mention something else. When we give thanks on purpose, it keeps us humble. Listen to this. You say, how you say so? Well, when circumstances are favorable, giving thanks will keep us humble. Like someone said, don't forget where you came from. Okay. Yeah, remember that, and that'll keep you humble. But what about this? Sometimes when God blesses, we feel entitled to those blessings. Well, God, you've seen how hard I work. That was owed to me. Lord, you see how... Lord, I got it. I got the big bonus and I deserved it. Sometimes if we're not careful, the goodness of God and how God bestows his goodness upon us, if we don't rightfully and purposefully give him the praise, it's because many times, and much of the time, it's because the feeling of entitlement, like we deserved it. Now listen, you work hard, all right? Yeah, there's payday for that. But don't ever forget that there is no entitlement. We don't deserve anything. We deserve hell. We deserve every bad thing. But it's because of the goodness of God that led us to a place of repentance. We now have God's love in us and on us. We now have goodness and mercy following us all the days of our life. It's nothing that we have done, but it's everything that God has done. And so this morning, giving thanks on purpose during favorable conditions keeps us humble. I want to go a step further and say, giving praise on purpose during unfavorable circumstances keeps us humble. And this is what I mean. Much of our gratitude, listen to this, much of our gratitude, including me, is related to positive experiences. Hey, something good happens, praise the Lord. God blesses, praise the Lord. And I want nothing more for God to bless me and you. But what about if it's nothing good that we perceive? What about if it's unfavorable circumstances? You lose your job. There's still a mortgage to pay. Something happens at the schoolhouse and something happens, again, on the job. Something happens at home. There's a death in the family. Someone has cancer you never thought that would have cancer. What do you do? How do you estimate the situation? How do you calculate it? Well, we are told, in everything, give thanks, for this is the will of God concerning you. You see, when we give God thanks during circumstances when they're favorable, it keeps us humble. But when we give God thanks when circumstances are unfavorable, it keeps us humble. Because it's the other side of the coin of giving thanks. Lord, I'm used to giving you thanks when you've been good and you moved on my behalf. I'm not used to giving thanks with these unfavorable conditions. But you see, it keeps us humble. It lets us reflect on the good ways of God that he's moved on our behalf that we like. But it's also maturing us to be a whole coin and not just a half of a coin. God is maturing through the unfavorable circumstances. We're kind of like a cake half-baked, if you would. If we only praise God when things are favorable, we are a cake half-baked. But you see, the thing about it this morning is, God wants a fully baked cake. God doesn't want us to operate out of half-baked faith. But God wants us to operate out of a fully baked faith. And there's only one way that a fully baked cake gets done. It has to sit in the oven the whole time. It has to sit in the oven the whole time. And you see, the Lord this morning, He is requiring us to give thanks in the good times, but the bad times. Listen to this. Giving thanks in everything is a way of letting go of things in our life. It's lifting our hands to God, looking to Him instead of our circumstance. When we are in the thick of it, and yet we're required to give praise and thanks, it's us having to let go of knowing how it's going to turn out. And it's us staying focused on God. God, I don't know how it's going to turn out. God, I don't know how these needs are going to be met. Lord, they're very unfavorable conditions to me, Lord. But I let go and I praise you in advance because you're the one that says it's God's will for me to give thanks in everything. You must have a plan. There must be a purpose in this devastation. If you're requiring your child to give you praise. So we see that when circumstances are unfavorable, giving thanks will keep us humble. Again, much of our gratitude is related to positive experiences, and rightfully so. But there's another side to that. Giving thanks in everything will help us appreciate the good times. Sometimes, man, I have to, just being human about it, I have to muster up a thank you, God. These circumstances are unfavorable. Thank you, Lord. Kind of like the car illustration I used the other Sunday. That would be a car that has one flat tire. Sometimes we can have faith that way. A deflated faith if we're not careful, where we know that somewhere in the process there is purpose. Thank you, God, for that. But God wants to get us to a place where we may not understand it. We may not even agree with it. But at the end of the day, all we have is God's word to go on. And God tells us in everything, favorable, unfavorable, give thanks. Why, Lord? Because this is my will for you. In Christ Jesus, concerning you. It's hard to give thanks on purpose, isn't it, sometimes? But as we see these lepers here, only one. But that one was so thankful at how somewhere in the process God touched him and he was healed. Let me mention a second thing when it comes to giving thanks. Not only we should purposefully give thanks, but number two, and it goes along with my first point actually, but a little difference. We should painfully give thanks. When our prayers aren't answered as we would like, give thanks. When healing hasn't come physically, when you're hurt emotionally, when confused, when you don't understand, give thanks. Sometimes it's painful to give thanks. But as it says in 1 Thessalonians 5:18, in everything, give thanks. It's painful to give thanks sometimes, but it is the thing to do this morning. Because we don't fully understand the bigger picture. God does. And again, I'll reiterate, when we give thanks during troublesome times, we are actually letting go and grabbing onto. We're letting go of those things that we disagree with and want different. And we're holding the hand of God, trusting Him. It's a time of development of our faith. Giving thanks in everything, it develops our faith and trust in God. Again, if we only praise the Lord in the good times, our faith is like a cake half turned. There's actually a verse of that in Hosea 7:8, if you want to see it later. Hosea 7:8. God wants us to have a fully baked faith. Man, my sweat keeps burning my eyes. He wants us to have a fully baked faith, trusting God and praising God at all times. At all times we'll do that. It is God's will to give thanks in everything. He wants to teach us how to give thanks. He's up to something. And so sometimes it's painful to give thanks. But He says, in everything, give thanks. Let me say this, during the painful experience of learning how to give thanks when things aren't well. Giving thanks is learned. It's learned. Turn over to Philippians chapter number 4, if you would. Philippians 4. Where'd you go? Notice what Paul says in verse number 11. Not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned in whatsoever state I am therewith to be content. I know both how to be abased and I know how to abound. Everywhere and in all things I am instructed. I'm taught. God requires, He is developing. I am instructed both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. In those verses, you can see a principle there. That being content is a learned process. Being able to be content and to thank God for not just the good things, but the things that are unfavorable, it's a process. It's a process. Again, this morning, I'm not saying that it's easy to give thanks for all things and in all things, but it is the thing to do. Giving thanks is learned. And so we see we should painfully give thanks. Let me mention one more thing this morning. We should perpetually give thanks. Purposefully, painfully, and perpetually give thanks. In and at all times give thanks. Not just once a year give thanks, but 365 days giving thanks. We have 364 days to prepare to give thanks if you need preparation for that one day. Let us be overkill in giving thanks if that were possible. Every time we're to come around each other, let there be a spirit of thanksgiving. I don't want to be guilty of being a complaining Christian or a Christian who is bitter, but I want to be a praising Christian. I want to be a refreshing Christian. Yeah, I have my experiences. Yeah, I have my struggles. But I save that for my prayer closet. And when I get out and I come into your presence, I want to be somebody that is liked and helped to be around. Let us perpetually give thanks at all times, in everything, seeing that God's hand is filtering everything that comes in our lives. Hebrews 13:15. You notice something here. Hebrews 13:15. The Bible says, by Him, therefore, let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God yearly. No. Continually. By him, therefore, let us offer to the sacrifice of praise to God continually. Whether we feel like it or not. Whether we're up or we're down. That is the fruit of our lips giving thanks to his name. We're to give thanks to God continually. But we're to give thanks to God audibly. You say, what does it matter? You say, I'm just not a praising person. Well, let me say this. What if every day I seen Christy, she'll come up to me and she'll say, I love you. And she does. What if I said, I know. I love you. I know. Justin, I love you. Ditto. I have a feeling I'll be laying on the floor or topped over the couch if I said ditto. Justin, I love you. I'm glad. Do you think somewhere along the line she'll begin to wonder if I love her? Yes, she would. Because all she's hearing is her own voice saying, I love you. Do you love me? Well, you know I love you. Why don't you say it every now and again? You see, it's not that she don't think I love her, because she knows I love her. And I do tell her I love her. It's all about hearing it. You follow me on that? It's all about hearing it. Do you think it's any different with God the Father? Do you think it's any different? You say, Brother Justin, I'm not just one to stand up and shout and, you know, praise the Lord that way. Well, it's not always manifested that way. Sometimes it's just, I just want to say I love the Lord. Just like us. He wants to hear it this morning. And listen, you may be here and you may be going through some unfavorable conditions. You praised the Lord on the mountaintop, but this morning there is a real valley experience. The Lord this morning, he just wants to hear it. He wants to hear that he's still good. He wants to hear you say that I still trust you. I may not agree, but I know I've said that before. I don't agree, but I trust you. I trust you, Lord. That may be you this morning. You may have stopped as an individual, as a Christian, and stopped believing fully and stopped going to church regularly. Those watching on Facebook, everyone under the sound of my voice may have stopped. But can I say this morning, keep on going. As those lepers went, they were healed. God wants you to keep on going this morning, giving him thanks the whole way. Father, we love you. We thank you, Lord, for all things. God, I pray that I've done no danger, no harm to the gospel. I did not attend to if I did. But I only wanted to say the things that were pleasing to you. And I pray that something was said that has helped someone today. Father, I pray that in the next few moments, as we give invitation, you'll make it easy for them to come if they need to come. And just say thank you for the good, the bad, and the ugly, because you are in control. We love you in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's stand to